This is already a train wreck.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, we got to get back in the saddle. That's one thing. Let me get a couple of these motherfuckers open so I ain't got to do it during the show.
Right.
But I do have a mute button or a... just turn my volume down, I guess.
Let me go grab another one, too, because mine are all the way downstairs.
Oh, Jesus, so yes.
I don't have that option.
Stock up, brother.
Hold on.
Here we go, episode 55 here in the Insane Asylum. That's right, Night Living Dreads podcast. Dreads with no A, by the way. I don't even know why I keep saying that. You would think that people would realize this by now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they should know it by now.
They should know by now. But that's where we're at. It's been a couple weeks, SJ. How the hell have you been, sir?
I've been all right. My world's been spinning in the... right direction, if the right direction is the insane direction, because I'm stuck in here in the insane asylum.
Awesome. And
I've been here for a long time. I'm just making hatch marks on the wall day by day. I don't know how many days it's been. I'd have to tally it up, but how have you been, my friend?
I've been good, man. I've been racking my brain trying to, come up with a better solution to producing this here podcast. I think I have come up with something really, really cool. I just want to talk about that for a minute, because it's not like we weren't doing the podcast just because we didn't, fucking feel like it.
Right.
I mean, we had some, the last time we tried to record, quick rundown that day. I don't know what happened. The Skype recorder I was using, it just kind of shit the bed and left out, the last parts of the podcast. Because we did a NLD Goes to the Movies. We had, of course, Dom on, and we were talking some movies. It was a good episode. It just shit the bed, the recording. So I've been racking my brain, came up with a possible solution that I think is going to be very enjoyable to listen to, as well as extremely fun to do the podcast, given all the little bells and whistles with what's called the Roadcaster. I have one in the mail. We'll be here about the middle of the week. And so hopefully next week, the podcast will be running through this new equipment. We're trying to find ways to improve the listening ability. Is that right?
Something like that.
Something
Listen,
like that.
The
but
building,
I think you guys
high
you're,
fidelity sound.
What I'm smelling. No, I fucked that up, didn't I?
This will be a much. We have a new producer on the podcast. His name is Otis B. Dreads. He'll be producing, editing, and hosting the show on the fly with this new piece of equipment. And yeah, man, it's an exciting thing because. You were talking about the last episode that we were trying to do with Dom. It was going to be a movie review episode, and it was good. And then our little budget, our little shoestring finally broke on that episode. And so now we have, a little bit more to work with, thanks to yourself, Otis, and Mrs. Dreads.
Yes.
For financing this new kind of version 2.0 of NLD.
I think it is going to be, man. We're taking this really to the next level. A lot of different things that we can do that we've always wanted to do. We've talked about it in the background, off the podcast, things that we would like to do, abilities and things like that. And I think it's going to work out quite well. So really excited about that. New equipment coming.
And there
just
be a, fart
just a heads up, because I had I made a little post over there at the Night of Living Dreads Facebook group, you know, concerning some of the upcoming shows. And I know one that is you know, set in stone towards the end of the month. A fellow listener, good friend James, of the I can't pronounce his name. I'm not sure exactly.
Come on, give it a shot.
I'm just gonna call him.
Starts
James.
With an I. James I.
He has agreed to. A while ago, he requested that maybe we do a show on H.P. Lovecraft. I am not very good. I don't know a whole lot about H.P. Lovecraft. James does. And he agreed to come on the podcast and talk about that. So we got that going on the end of the month, big H.P. Lovecraft show. Should be interesting. It's going to be, you know, a learning kind of experience with me. I know a little bit about him. And there's actually a movie that we're going to talk about in an article that I wanted to bring up before we get into the Delphi murders, which is going to be pretty much our main little topic here. Before we get into all that, though, we got to give out some insane asylum love. That's right. We have the Twilight Hour, Miss Amanda Thomas over there at the Twilight Hour on Facebook. Go check them out. Lots of watch parties, lots of good things, good people over there. Real good friends of ours here in the Insane Asylum, Van and Trisha. They run the Misfit Horror Fiend Club. I don't know if you're like me. I don't think you so much are when it comes to punk music. Were you into, like, punk music? Like, you know, the Misfits, Sex Pistols, things like that?
No, not so much. But you know what? I never bought a T-shirt from Hot Topic and pretended. So I was never a poser with a Misfits shirt. So awesome. Give me some points for that, at least.
Oh, no, I do. I do for sure. I do for sure. I only buy band T-shirts that I fucking listen to and that I'm fans of. So check them out. You get a lot of horror. You get a lot of talk about the Misfits. Good group over there. We have the Slaughterhouse. Slaughter on, Wayne.
Slaughter on, Garth.
Awesome. This Slaughterhouse over there, they got a lot of fun stuff going on over there. And Zombie Boob. Mm-hmm. The old Zombie Boob. I just like saying it. Check them mm-hmm. out over there. And we also have a new group to throw out there. The Insane Asylum's own Mr. Don Skirl, a.k.a. Chiller the Clown, has a group that just started, I think, just a couple days ago. Just a few days ago, I got an invite. And that is called, I think, just Carnival of Souls or Chiller and the Carnival of Souls. Just put that in there, Chiller, Carnival of Souls, in your search on Facebook, and you are sure to come up with that. Check them out over there. And, of course, Night of Living Dreads. We are over there. We have a page. We have a group. Come and join us over there. Group is doing quite well, 500-plus members over there, and hey, we love all you crazy fuckers.
Yes, we do. 500 plus, my god.
I know, it's like crazy. It just started yesterday. It's very strange.
That's been just a few weeks.
Yeah, just a few weeks that it's been out there. So and then of course you can listen to this podcast, future podcast, past podcast over there, nightoflivingdreads.com, as well as Stitcher and Spotify. And we will also be posting all the new episodes over there on our group page on Facebook, Night of Living Dreads. So, I think we got all of the little shout-outs out.
Get the shout-outs out.
Shout-outs out. I have a little quick article that I would like to talk about. This comes from Vulture.com. The best horror movies of the year so far. And we're just a couple months into 2020. So have you had a chance to go and check out any new horror movies that have come out so far in this 2 months?
I have not. I'm unfortunately the type of horror fan that likes to stay at home and kind of check out the older ones that I haven't seen before. So I'm kind of a homebody guy. So I haven't gone out to the movies and seen any of the new ones. That's not to say that I don't have access to them through various means of legal movie watching, but I haven't checked out too many or any movies from 2020 horror movies from 2020 so far. What about you?
I have not either. I think the last new movie that I went and saw, one of the last ones, Three from Hell, but that came out last year. Haven't got really a chance to get out so far in 2020. So here's a little rundown of maybe some movies that, you know, are said to be some of the best ones that's, you know, come out so far.
Before you get into the list, I know one of them on this list is one that I wanted to go see, but I just didn't get the chance. But go ahead and launch this little list.
Here we go. We got top. We're on the list, not the top one, but the first one on the list here, After Midnight. And a little brief rundown. This says you won't see the long game of After Midnight coming, and that's what makes it so much fun. Jeremy Gardner wrote, co-directed, and starred in this humble creature feature. It is also a pretty inventive breakup movie. What?
I don't know, but I'm interested so far.
I don't know. This old breakup movie. All right. When Abby...
I like the idea of a breakup movie being a horror
movie
at the same time.
It's kind of Abby, how ironic. When Abby, the character Abby, played by Bray Grant, walks out on Hank, who is played by Jeremy Gardner, after a decade-long relationship in their small southern hometown, Hank spirals into a depression and maybe starts going a little crazy, staying up late every night to fend off the mysterious monster that keeps banging on his front door. Now I'm a little more intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm a little more intrigued.
You think this monster that's banging at his door is his suppressed feelings? Let me in! Let me in! I'm your suppressed feelings! Let me back in!
Let me in!
Or do you think it's more subtle than that?
I don't know, but that's pretty cool. I think that would be a pretty cool... I can't think of the word that I want, but a pretty cool way to do that.
Yeah. Oh, the hounds of hell are going crazy.
The hounds! The hounds! Release the hounds!
Somebody released the hounds already.
Now, is Hank's grief pushing him to imagine some outlandish terror, or is there really something coming to his porch every night? And will he and Abby ever reconcile? The answers will surprise you.
That's the most clickbaity thing I've ever heard from a movie.
Right. But that's After Midnight. Speaking of H.P. Lovecraft, Color Out of Space, which looking at this picture, looks like it stars old Nicolas Cage. This is an H.P. Lovecraft adaption.
I love a Nick Cage movie, let me tell you. Mm. They're always good.
Nicolas Cage and Jolie Richardson star as a married couple living in a beautiful royal home with their three kids. Their pleasant little life is rudely, very rudely, interrupted when a glowing meteorite strikes down in their front lawn. Soon, the surrounding area starts to resemble Area X in Annihilation, and each member of the family starts deteriorating in a uniquely disturbing way. Plus, it says in parentheses, plus, and this should tickle your fancy, Cage goes absolutely nuts in this movie, which is a gorgeous sci-fi nightmare you can't miss.
Oh, Nicolas Cage going nuts in a movie?
Who would have thunk
it? I'd pay to see that. Yeah, who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it?
Who would have?
What the fuck is Area X in Annihilation?
I've never. Yeah, I'm guessing Annihilation is maybe a movie. It's italicized.
Oh. I'm sure everybody listening to this knows what it is, and we're the only we two the motherfuckers only that ones are out of the loop
that don't know. Next on the list, are you an Elijah Woods fan?
I like Woods. Elijah, he's okay.
Next one on the list is Come to Daddy, which stars Elijah Woods. This one, Woods plays a guy by the name of Norville, a Los Angeles soft boy. What the fuck is a soft boy?
Dude. We're aging ourselves by asking all these questions. A soft boy. If I had to guess what a soft boy is, that means like a bottom to me. Huh. He's the bottom. He's the soft boy. You got a hard boy and a soft boy. He's the soft boy.
And you have the rude boy, man. All right. He is a soft boy whose estranged dad has written a letter requesting a reunion at his remote coastal home. And since Norville knows almost nothing about his dad and yearns to connect, he agrees and schleps. Schleps. When you never hear that word a whole bunch, do you? Schleps. Through the woods.
Only in certain communities. Right.
Into almost complete isolation, where he finds a real bastard of a man waiting to greet him. But maybe his dad is just uncomfortable with his feelings when it comes to his family. Well, the situation takes a truly bizarre turn for the worse, and things keep getting crazier and bloodier from there. That's Come Daddy. Then we have, which we did, I think, make a brief mention of this in a past podcast. Gretel and Hansel. What's up?
This is the one I was saying I wanted to. This is the one I wanted to actually go check out. I just didn't get the chance.
Gretel and Hansel.
Yeah, because I like these kind of twisted takes on, you know, what are supposed to be children's tales.
Sure. Yeah. This one is directed by one Osgood Perkins, who, if you recognize the last name, you are correct in assuming that is Anthony Perkins' son. It says it kind of has a, you know, he specializes more in, like, slow-moving, you know, tones type deal. But this, yeah, it pays proper homage to the to its twisted Brothers Grimm origin. So you're familiar with Brothers Grimm. Did we bring that up in the Slender Man episode? Because that's where you see, you know, a lot of the, you know, Brothers Grimm in stories like that.
Right.
Let's see. When the two kids are cast out of their home by an unhinged mother, Gretel, played by Sophia Lillis, knows it's up to her to provide for her or for and protect her little brother. One day deep in the woods, they find a cottage with a beautiful bounty on the table, and Hungry Hansel, played by Samuel Leakey, can't help breaking in to steal a few bites. So he, you know, he's what?
Hungry Hansel.
Hungry hippo. he breaks in. You know, and I don't even remember the actual story of Hansel and Gretel. Of course, this is Gretel and Hansel, but I think it was Hansel and Gretel.
The only reason I remember anything about the story of, and yeah, it is Hansel and Gretel in the traditional telling of it is from New Nightmare, Wes Craven's New Nightmare, because the whole movie is kind of a retelling of, you know, Hansel and Gretel. But I like what they're doing here with reversing the roles, but it's still pretty much the same story.
Yeah, that's you know, from reading through this, that's exactly what it sounds like. They run into, you know, the witch of the house, who takes the siblings into in to shelter them and fatten them up, of course, to eat them.
Right.
So yeah, it's pretty. Sounds like something I would probably check out. I don't know if I'd go to the movies and check it out unless I had, like, you know, free tickets.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of sad that that's how movies have become nowadays. But I feel like everybody feels that way. There's only maybe one or two movies every 5 years, let's say, that are actually worthy of going out and seeing. And a retelling of Hansel and Gretel, I don't know if it's worth $20 right. for the tickets and then 20 more bucks for popcorn.
Yeah.
When I could just stay at home and, you know, let's be honest, watch that shit for free right now.
Right now. Yeah. Next on the list, The Lodge. The Lodge stars.
Oh, I've heard good things about this one.
You have heard good things about this one?
Yes.
Awesome. So we have, Riley, I don't know. He stars as Grace, or she stars as Grace, a young woman going on a winter holiday with her fiance and his kids, who are outraged, he was able to replace their mother so quickly. So it's a, you know, whole stepmom, you know, disdain kind of thing going on there. To make matters worse, the dad, Richard Armitage, he has to stay back in the city for work while the three of them hole up in a snowy cabin where one morning everyone wakes to find basically all of the household objects missing. No food, no Christmas stockings, no nothing. And they're snowed in to leave or get help. And they're too snowed in, I'm sorry, too snowed in to leave or get help. The mystery is, are the children having some insidious fun at Grace's expense to punish their future stepmom, or is there a supernatural menace manifesting from her mysterious past to terrorize them all?
I think I know the answer to that.
What do you think?
They just... It's like you said, you have a brand new stepmom and you're just snowed in a cabin with her. That's a horror movie by itself. You don't need to introduce any other elements. Like, you had me at stepmom and the new kids being snowed in.
You can almost see where that one's going to go.
It writes itself.
It really does. It really does. And then I think one of the most, one of the big anticipated movies, which is next on the list, is the bringing back of the Dark Universe, the Universal Monsters.
Yes.
And this one being the Invisible Man, as we were talking a little bit off air. You know, they're starting to do these and bring these Universal Monsters back. Now, I think I've asked you this before, but who is your favorite Universal monster?
Oh, definitely Wolfman.
You're a Wolfman guy, really?
I'm a Wolfman guy, yeah. Call me Wolfman Jack if you want to. Wolfman SJ. I don't know. There's something about the Wolfman.
That was my Wolfman
Jack. I like the notion. That was pretty I didn't hear it because I was talking over you, but I'm going to continue to talk because the Wolfman is the best of the Universal Monsters. Who wouldn't want to turn into a creature of the night at night and still be able to, you know, wear pants and be a werewolf? I mean, it's the best of both worlds. You can be kind of civilized and run on a rampage and kill all your enemies.
He said be a werewolf and wear pants, too.
Yeah, wear pants.
That's hilarious. I'm a Dracula guy.
You're a Dracula one. Oh yeah, I can see that.
I've always been a huge Dracula fan since I was a kid. Jody's more of a Frankenstein guy. Girl. That was weird.
Frankenstein or Frankenstein's monster?
Oh yeah, the Frankenstein's monster. Yes, that was.
Get it right, so Frenchie. Fun.
Yeah. Yeah, she's not too, I don't know if she's a fan. She may be a fan of Dr. Frankenstein. I don't know. But the monster, yes. The Invisible Man, again, as we were talking a little bit off air, you know, it never, excuse me, it never really seemed to me to be, you know, like a scary movie. I've never seen it, to be honest with you.
And that would make two of us. If I'm going to be honest here. I haven't seen a lot of the, like, 1930s Universal classics. I've seen the clips. I know the sound bites or memes and everything from them, but I'm not so familiar with, especially this one, the Invisible Man. And it doesn't seem like a horror character to me. It seems more like either a sci-fi thing or a superpower.
Yeah, I was thinking along the lines of like sci-fi, and yeah, like you mentioned, you know, superpowers. I mean, who wouldn't want to really be invisible? Really, I mean, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, you could do anything you wanted to if you were invisible, so it's not like a horrible. I think the best movie so far, and I know we're the new Invisible Man has just come out, and this is the one we're talking about, but there was an original, you know, 1930s Invisible Man, and back in 1999 we had Hollow Man, which kind of explored the the more horrific side of what could happen if somebody did have the power to just become invisible. But with this one, I haven't seen the new version of it, the remake, but I've heard really good things about it. People are saying it's a really good one. Obviously, I mean, it's on this list. So.
Yeah. And who the hell's Vulture anyway? I mean, who are they?
Right.
Next on the list, Underwater. I don't think I have to go too much into that. This is not, you know, to me, again, not, I guess, so much horror-based as it is terror-based. You know, there is a difference between horror and terror, as you know, and this is more of a terror film from what I've read a little bit about it.
Okay.
Let's see. Then you have VFW. That is the last one on the list. This is supposed to be set back in the 80s. Director Joe Bogos follows the excellent achievement that was Bliss. I guess that's the name of another movie. With this rip-roaring story. Rip-roaring. You just don't hear that a lot anymore, do you?
Rip-roaring story.
Of a bunch of hard-ass service veterans caught in the middle of a feud between a sadistic drug dealer and a thief who steals his stash. The story is set in a nearish future in which a new, extremely addictive drug has turned huge swaths of the population into junkies.
Oh, so wait a minute. This is RoboCop 3.
Right.
The plot of RoboCop 3.
They did not get creative with this one, because I literally thought that same thing. And it's based in the 80s.
Right. It's Spice. What did they call it in RoboCop? Was it Spice, or was it like... It was something like that. Like,
yeah, I don't remember, but how funny. Spice. Yeah, you can buy Spice, and you know, I call it gas station weed.
Bath salts.
And then, you know, local supplier loses his product to a young woman seeking revenge on him. He sends an army of tweakers into the bar where she seeks refuge and where she is being protected by the likes of Stephen Lang, William Sadler, Fred Williamson, Martin Cove, and David Patrick Kelly. Heads Fred will Williams. Split open, limbs will be severed, and the blood will keep on flowing.
Well, it better. It better keep on flowing, because if you have an army of tweakers coming after you, you're going to have to knock some skulls in. Imagine an army of tweakers coming at you, shambling like zombies.
Right, man. It's like drug-induced version of a zombie movie. You just got, you know, army of fucking tweakers running after you. How scary is that? I guess depending on where you live, it may not be that scary. You may have to deal with that shit every day.
Right. Or if you don't, then it's very, very scary.
All right. So that's the end of the list. So you said you're pretty much your top pick out of that list anyway, is Gretel and Hansel. That's the one you're most excited to see, I would take.
That's the one I wanted to see the most when I saw the trailer, but since then, I didn't see a trailer for The Lodge or The Invisible Man, but I've heard really good things about The Lodge. It seems like psychological horror.
Right.
Kind of like Hereditary. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of interested in The Lodge. But and the remake of The Invisible Man. So there's three out of this list that I really want to see. But I guess, yeah, the one that piqued my interest at first was Gretel and Hansel. So
awesome. Yeah, The Lodge.
Those are my little picks.
Of, interesting, to say the least. Hell, yeah. You know me. I may check them all out. But you know, a lot of them, most of them, same. I don't think any of them I'm going to pay to go to the movie theater and watch, unless I have free tickets, which I do because I do the little rewards thing sometimes. And
yes, nice cover.
Yeah, thank you. All right, let's get into a little bit of, and this is probably going to be a two-parter. For those who have listened to the podcast, for a while back, we had a good friend of the Insane Asylum, my dear friend Bobby, would come on, and he's really big into, you know, true crime, unsolved murders, and we had him on to talk a while back about Jack the Ripper. And he is very informative, and this is a story that he brought to my attention that actually just happened about 4 hours west of me, so not that far really. So that kind of hit home with him, and he just dug into it probably for the past month and a half. I've just become privy to this. I had heard a little bit about what is known as the Delphi murders, and that would be the murders of Liberty German and Abigail Williams, otherwise known as Libby and Abby. And I'd heard a little bit about this, but not so much. And then I started diving into it probably, a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, and it is a pretty interesting case. Still, no one has been caught. Bobby was supposed to be on the podcast tonight to talk about all of this, and he unfortunately was detained by the White Coats and was unable to participate with this. So when we do, we're going to give a brief overview of this, maybe mention some of the past suspects and things of that nature. And then possibly get, when Bobby is off his, when his infraction runs out and he's able to join us, we definitely want to have him on to, voice his opinion as well.
Choose your words wisely. The white coats are always listening to us.
Always listening. You definitely have to choose your words wisely. All right. So, the Delphi murders, and a brief rundown. This is only 3 years old. The third year anniversary was the 14th of February, on February
Valentine's 14th, Day.
What's that?
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. How weird is that? The 14th of February, 2017, the bodies of Abigail Williams and Liberty German were discovered near the Monon High Bridge Trail, which is part of the Delphi Historic Trails in Delphi, Indiana. And after the young girls had disappeared the previous day, so they went, I think they had a half a day of school. And it was, I guess, unseasonably warm that day in February in Indiana. It's usually pretty cold. They have similar weather here. This part of the Insane Asylum is in Ohio, so it's not that not too far. So the weather, is unseasonably warm. They were going to get out and make a day of it, being only having a half day. So they decide to, do a little hiking or whatnot, go to this bridge. It's like almost a mile long, this fucking bridge is. It is an absolutely huge bridge. It's a railroad.
It's very shaky.
It's an old railroad.
It's an old railroad bridge that hadn't been used since, you know, the early 1900s, I think. You know, and so these boards are kind of rickety, so you have to be careful walking across this thing. And it's, you know, it's a huge drop. What is it, 60, 70 feet down if were to fall off of this bridge? And so, you know, starting the story out where you're starting it, you have to keep in mind that it's such an innocent thing. I mean, it's a day in February where they have a half day of school, so they know they can, you know, hang out together after school. So this is the most innocent thing in the world. It's not snowy, it's not cold, it's kind of sunny and nice, so let's go make a day of it, like you said. So here these two girls go, and can, you know, now you pick it up right there.
Now they go out, and like you said, it was a very innocent type deal. Now at about approximately 1:35 p.m. on the 13th of February, 13-year-old Abby and 14-year-old Libby were dropped off by Libby's older sister. Her name is Kelsey. And at the trail on County Road 300, just west of the Hoosier Heartland Highway. I don't say that one too quick. The girls were just hiking on the Monon High Bridge, which goes over top of what's known as Deer Creek. And that's where they were pretty much last seen. They were reported missing 5:30 that evening. They were supposed to meet a family member at a certain pickup location. They were going to be picked up. They did not, obviously, make that ride home. Authorities quickly searched the area and did not initially suspect foul play in the disappearance. However, this kind of changed when the bodies were found, they say, approximately noon the next day, about 0.5 miles east of the abandoned deck girder bridge. Bodies were about 50 feet from the north bank of Deer Creek. So,
and there's going to be some stuff about the police in this case, like bashing the police in this case. And it's, you know, as we get into the story, some of that is justified. But I just like to point out, like, after one day of these two girls gone missing, you know, they I think they called the search off somewhere around 2 a.m., 2:30 in the morning, the night of the disappearance. That's not super irresponsible of the police, because we're talking about two young, you know, two teenage girls. They might just be out there having fun or, you know, playing hooky.
Right.
Basically. And but anyway.
That is an interesting point that, you know, you bring up, because we are going to talk a little bit about the investigation. Again, we are kind of reserving ourselves for when our friend Bobby, you know, joins us here in the insane asylum, to really talk about the nuts and bolts of this. We're going to give you a brief overview, because it really is, as with a lot of unsolved true crime cases, all you really have to go on is really a lot of speculation. There's not a lot of evidence to work with. Although, going back to your point about the parents of the girls, there's been a kind of a backlash towards the police, and the reason is they have they have a still picture, and they also have a video that literally just shows a suspect that was on the bridge very close to the time that these girls went missing. But you only see him take you know, a few steps, and then it just loops over again. This was said to have been recorded by Libby. Now, there is, so you have that, you know, a 2-second, you know, little video of this guy walking that was released by the police because they did find Libby's phone. That's obviously where, you know, this little video comes from. And then the other small piece of evidence is they have his voice. They have the voice of what they suspect is this guy, the bridge guy, as he's known. It says in the recording, you hear him say, "Guys, down the hill." Now, it was speculated, again, that these guys and down the hill, they were either two different, you know, conversations, okay, and they just kind of put them together, or there was something in between guys and down the hill. Did that make sense?
It did, but I don't think – I think it was the same guy, and he's saying guys – even though he's leading two girls down the hill away from the train tracks, he's saying guys because it's kind of a cover-all term.
Sure.
I mean, you say guys even if it's a mixture of men and women. All right, guys, let's go.
Right.
You know, so this guy, guy has been said so much right now. This guy was definitely a guy. Who was speaking to these two young
girls,
these two teenage girls, and calling them guys and instructing them to go down the hill because he wanted them to go down there. And, you know, this case is – it does have a lot of speculation involved in it. I have my own speculation about the whole thing. I think it's a case of a guy wandering, you know, these train tracks and coming upon these two, you know, young – teenage girls, and then just without a gun or a knife or anything, telling them, "I'll kill your ass if you don't do exactly what I say." And then he led them down the primrose path, so to speak, to their doom.
Right.
But there's so much more going on. It could be, something else.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. And so that's the basic premise of what's happened. There were a few people of interest, a few suspects that showed up on the cops' radar. We'll go through a few of those, and one that's not actually mentioned, here, because I am using Wiki to kind of get the basics of this. One was a guy by the name of Paul Etter. On the 23rd of July, 2019, after receiving a tip, authorities announced that Paul Etter was being considered a suspect in the murder. Etter was wanted for kidnapping and the rape of a 26-year-old woman on June 22nd in, Tippecanoe County, Indiana. And 5 days later, Etter was surrounded by police. And after a 5-hour standoff, Etter killed himself.
Wow.
Interesting. I don't know if he just felt the heat, if he was that bridge guy. Maybe he just felt the heat. I don't know. Next on the... What's that?
No, I can't speculate on that because there's like nothing
about there,
him online. Right. There's just a short half paragraph on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
That's all there is about this guy.
It really is, yeah. So I think they kind of excluded him right away after, he put one, to the dome or however he killed himself.
Right.
Next on the list, which I thought when I first seen this guy, when I first started looking into this case, I'm like, oh, this guy right here, this could be him. Daniel J. Nations. Nations is a registered sex offender from Indiana. He was arrested in Woodland Park, Colorado, in 2017, and charged with threatening strangers on a Monument Trail with a hatchet. Interesting.
Could be the guy. It could be the guy easily.
He had expired Indiana plates on the car he was driving, and he had an outstanding warrant as well. They thought maybe this was probably, in my opinion, probably one of their biggest suspects in the beginning of this investigation. Fanning public speculation still further, it was reported that a bicyclist had been fatally shot on the same trail at around the time that Nations was purportedly terrifying passersby. So this guy, he doesn't seem like he's all there in the head. I mean, he's threatening strangers on trails and paths and, you know, woods with a fucking hatchet.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It doesn't fit the MO. We only have two bodies in this case.
Right.
We have Abigail and we have, Libby. I'm sorry. Libby. So we only have two bodies in this case. We don't have a crazy person just running around being crazy. We only have two bodies. So to me, it seems like the killer of these two teenage girls would... It just strikes me as a crime of passion kind of thing.
Mm.
One girl was the target, and the other one was killed just to kind of silence the case.
I agree.
I don't see it being like a crazy killer or a serial killer starting out, and then he's going to go off to kill more people. It's definitely a male suspect in this case, obviously. I mean, we've seen the bridge dude, and we can't delude ourselves here and say that the bridge guy is not the killer. That guy is the guy that killed these two girls.
Really? Now I want to stop you there, because with cases like this, and this is not a cold case, the ISP, the Indiana State Police, and the sheriffs and you know, all law enforcement in that area, they are not putting this fucker on ice yet. Here's something to think about. And I brought this up, and yeah, I mean, you have to really examine all different possibilities. What if the guy in the video was just a guy walking through the woods or walking the trail? What if him? What if they ran into the person who murdered these young girls after?
Well, what if? I mean, we can play the what-if game on any case.
You really can. And with not a lot to work with, I don't think you can exclude all what-ifs. Well, although some... Well, You can, you know, given evidence and whatnot, but we don't have that.
Wasn't it Libby that recorded this kind of creepy guy? Was it Libby's phone? Okay. So Libby turns around. She wouldn't have turned around and recorded this guy if she didn't feel uncomfortable. She must have felt uncomfortable, because all of a sudden there's this guy, when before it was just her and her friend Abby, and they're, you know, they have a half day off from school, so they're, you know, and the weather is nice, so they're going up or going over this bridge just for fun. And, oh my God, Abby, look at that guy. I can just imagine two teenage girls doing that and like, oh, look back there. It's a creepy guy following us.
Right.
And of course she would turn around and take a real quick shot, trying not to be obvious about it. And that's why it's blurry as fuck. The video and the, you know, all the pictures that we see of Bridge Guy are blurry and grainy because she's obviously nervous. She's just trying to whip her phone around her shoulder and take a quick video or a quick shot of this guy and then pretend like she is not doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Two, I mean, we don't know how far away, because come on, cell phones these days, and we don't know what kind of cell phone it was. At least I don't know exactly what kind
but
of cell phone
the year.
That Libby had. I'm guessing probably a fucking iPhone or something.
Yeah, probably.
Or an
Android.
Go ahead.
At the time. If it was an Android, it would have been an older Android with a, you know, how Android phones are. They're not the best.
So. Even so, you're going to get better video quality. And so this is what I'm thinking. We don't know how far away that this guy was. What did she hit the, you know, the video and zoom in? And that causes some of the, you know, the not so good quality of the video?
Well, let's talk about body language.
Sure.
You know, we only have a couple of shots of this guy, and he looks like he's got his hands in his pockets. He's got his head kind of down a little bit.
Right.
He's trying to remain anonymous. So he, to me, that means he's, you know, quite a little distance behind the girls. Mm-hmm. Like far enough away to still feel like he's able to just look like somebody that's walking the trail. But if, you know, he catches up with them, then who knows? I mean, who else was on the trail that day other than Bridge Guy?
There were witnesses that, and this kind of goes into other theories, that it was possibly a father-son ordeal.
Okay.
There was a car that was parked with a 16 to 18 year old in that range boy leaning up against the car. A passerby, one of the witnesses. There were actually a few people that were walking trails and whatnot, and in the area, which I believe is where they came up with the other sketch out. You know, that they, because they have this video and they have this still shot of a Bridge Guy. And there's also, you know, another sketch that
yes.
came out, and I think that was by one of the other witnesses. Now, this kid, you know, somebody stops, hey, are you okay? They recognize he was a little bit younger. Are you okay? He was like, yeah. It said that, you know, he told this person that, oh, well, you know, I haven't car troubles. I'm waiting on my dad. And then some say he just said, you know, I'm just waiting for my dad, which is, you know, a little weird. Which could explain why the sketch doesn't look anything like the Bridge Guy. Maybe,
well,
it was
the
two people.
The first sketch looked like the Bridge Guy.
Sure.
To me.
Yes.
And they just changed the hat to kind of give more of the facial features. And
right.
Then the second one is a totally different fucking guy.
Yeah.
Totally different, younger, with a full head of hair, no hat, you know, not kind of the sagging cheeks that you get, you know, going into your 30s and 40s. So
mm-hmm.
The first guy looked like he was at least 45 to 55 years old, the first sketch.
I agree.
Then after that, the second sketch was a guy that looks anywhere from 18 to 25.
Mm-hmm. And how ironic, SJ, that you know, they estimated that the killer was anywhere between 18 and 40. That's kind of broad, ain't it?
It is, and it gets the conspiracy wheels turning, but I still don't think – but you have to think about this thing. This is somebody that had to this is a controversial statement, I guess, but overpower two teenage girls, which might not be that hard for one grown-ass man and two scared to death, you know, teenage girls. This person took these girls – because where they found their body, you know, was well off the beaten path.
Sure.
Away from the railroad tracks and everything. And this killer had his way with them and killed them and left them and walked away and was never caught. And this can't be the action of an 18 to, let's just say, 25-year-old person.
Okay.
This is the action of a grown-ass killer that has to be at least 30 years old. My estimation would be 30 to 55 years old, this mm-hmm. killer. Not a young man that took these two girls, because one of those girls would have fought back.
Well, exactly. And you also have to keep in mind that these were two very athletic girls.
Right.
I think Libby played a lot of softball. You know, they were probably, for their age, you know, young girls. They were fit. They were athletic.
Right.
It seems like, yeah, one of them would have been able, you know, to run, if not both of them, and lose this guy. Because, like you said, and I agree, anywhere from 30 to 50 years old, I think, is what we're looking at age-wise for the bridge guy. It seems to me that they may be able to get away from this guy.
Right, unless he has a gun or something that he never shot, because nobody was shot.
There were no bullet wounds, anything.
But the threat of a gun, you know, you just have to imagine that in that case. That'll make you move. Sure. You got a gun to your back. You're going to walk wherever this person tells you to walk. And, you know, that's kind of brings it back to that audio. You know, okay, guys, down the hill. Mm. If you have a gun to your back, you're going to walk down that hill, right? Or a gun to the back of your head or, sure, you know, whatever.
Well, now this is why I kind of, you know, still, you know, flirt around with the idea of it being a father-son. There was, a father-son combo that they were kind of looking at. And the father, similar, you know, he resembles this guy, the bridge guy, with built, stature, face, a little bit, what we can tell from the video. And his son kind of resembled, you know, I mean, you're looking at a sketch, and all you can, determine from this, that the sketch of the younger, the second sketch they put out, is that it is, like you said, a young kid, 18 to 25 years old, you know. So here's what I speculated on. Here's what I theorized about. Possibly, this girl, or this young boy, you know, the father-son combo, went to school. And if I'm not mistaken, this kid did go to school with him.
Okay.
And maybe he was picked on. Maybe, you know, he liked one of the girls, and the girls wouldn't give him the time of day, or whatever. You know how cruel middle school and high school kids can be. Maybe it was a bullying thing. He tells his dad takes care of it. Because, like you said, 16, 17-year-old boy is not probably going to be able to subdue both of them. That there's at least going to be a fighting chance versus an adult.
Right, right.
So, you have that dynamic to it. Okay, now the father son the son was I don't know, he was like in like Boy Scouts, whatever the hell, you know, a 17-year-old Boy Scouts, whatever they call that. What is that, like young adult Scouts?
I don't know, Weeblos or something. What it sounds like is creepy to me. If you're 17 and you're still in the Boy Scouts,
right?
I don't know what the fuck you're doing with your life, but that's kind of creepy, dude.
That
Stop.
Is kind of weird anyway. Yeah. And the father was like a scout leader. So, and neither one of them ever had a criminal record. It was stated by the police in conferences and, you know, talking to the public that when we find out, you know, which I think they may already have a good idea. They just don't have enough evidence to pull DNA to further it. I think they have a really good idea. The cop said, you know, numerous times that when you find out who this is, you're going to be shocked. That goes right along with a guy who's a pillar in the community. Never didn't have a criminal record. Right. Had never been in trouble either.
It's kind of like saying it's the guy you would have least suspected.
Least suspect, right? Hell, the sheriff. Yeah. And when you look at the videos, the sheriff has the same build. He was a suspect.
Well, I just keep going back to that first sketch, that first police sketch. To me, in this case, is kind of haunting. When you look at it, because it's almost too good of a sketch.
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? I agree. I thought that too.
It's like almost like an art piece, whereas the second sketch is obviously, you know, quickly drawn, you know, just based off of people's descriptions of the perp, so to speak.
Right.
The first one is like, it's very detailed and very specific.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So we're looking for this guy, whoever this guy is. I know in small towns, a lot of times there are police forces that look out for their own and kind of keep secrets in the small towns. And if somebody's wrapped up in a big case, then they're kind of almost wrapped up in a blanket of protection in a small town.
Sure. And this was Delphi, Indiana. I'm glad you mentioned that, because Delphi, Indiana was a, you know, quite a small community. Less than 4,000 people live in Delphi.
Right. And it makes you wonder how much longer that kind of small town justice notion will continue to be a thing.
Right. A couple other suspects I wanted to bring up, and then we can get into a little bit of theorizing, if you want. One suspect was a man by the name of Thomas Bruce. He formerly worked as a pastor and is charged with fatally shooting one woman and sexually assaulting two others after having ordered them at gunpoint into the back room of a suburban St. Louis shop for religious supplies.
Holy shit.
Nice committed, guy. It committed in broad daylight, nonetheless, November 19th, 2018. These crimes put Bruce in the spotlight of the press. Take that with a grain of salt. Some noted his being of similar stature, 5'7" to 5'9", to the then current suspect description in the killings. He's also his wearing a flat cap and navy blue jacket during his attack, not unlike the suspect in the Delphi case. So he has similar stature. He has similar clothing that he was, you know, caught with on these, you know, on the 2018 murders. And, you know, now Indiana police did look into the possible, connection in November. On the 4th of December, Bruce was charged with no fewer than 17 felony counts. Related to the St. Louis case, and he could receive the death penalty. So I don't know where that's going. He's not really at the top of there because they have no real concrete suspect right now. And then the last one on the list, Charles Eldridge. Now, this guy kind of, you know, could resemble, you know, the bridge guy as well. He was arrested on January 8, 2019 in Union City, Indiana, on the charges of child molestation and child solicitation. Police in Randolph County alerted the FBI to a potential link between Eldridge and the Delphi murders on the account of his strong resemblance to the suspect sketch. I believe that was the first sketch you were referring to that was really well artistically done. Albeit this was before the updated composite had come out. So then you got second sketch that comes out, and they're like, oh, that's definitely not that guy.
Right.
Although he did resemble the first one.
Well, I mean, let's go back through all these. We've got Charles Eldridge, Thomas Bruce, Daniel Nations, Paul Etter. Thomas Bruce was a pastor, which that's hilarious to me when there's
killing
a
for Jesus.
Yeah, I kick ass for the Lord. And he's already in jail. All these guys could be the killer or could not be the killer. And here's the thing about this case. I don't think whoever killed these two girls is going to kill again. And I don't think this case will ever be solved. It just seems to me like one of these cases where you have just so little to go on. We have these couple of police sketches and, you know, a little bit of video footage of the bridge guy. and you have some dead bodies of these girls, and it doesn't seem like enough police work was done.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like enough. It doesn't seem like there was enough care for the crime scene. I don't think this case will ever be solved. I can't wait for Bobby to be on the podcast because I know he has a lot more to say about this case.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it seems like a killer in the woods that, you know, snatched a couple of girls and offed them. And unfortunately, those girls will never see justice, at least in SJ's opinion. It seems like to me this bridge guy is going to walk away with two bodies under his belt.
Hmm.
And they'll never catch him. That's just my take on
it. Interesting, yeah.
And the police are holding shit
back.
You
know, I got to think that, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to tell right now. I can see where you're coming from because it was said that, you know, there could be anywhere from, you know, 6 minutes to 40 plus minutes of audio. Now, what I think is that, you know, when it comes to the camera and Libby filming this guy, that she still kept the camera on. She just stuck it in her pocket. Okay. So this guy wouldn't see it and be alerted and freak out or whatever. That's why I think he was way far down the bridge. And if you're way far away, you know, I could probably, you know, record you, but make it look like I'm recording something else.
Or just I have my phone in my pocket, so I'm not even holding it. So, but it's still recording audio.
Exactly. And it's said that, you know, that audio, which the cops have, going back to some say is a little lackluster investigation.
We don't really know what the cops do have, though. They might have 40 minutes of straight video and audio, or video or audio. Exactly. We don't know. We'll never know.
And, you know, the cops say they can't release anything more to identify this guy, basically for the fact that when they do, they'll get, you know, a lot of tips, and a lot of false positives.
And they don't want to put false negatives out there either. I know this defense when it comes to police forces, they don't want to say anything because it could, if they say too much, it could be
everybody's going to see this guy.
Yeah, or there could be copycat killers or something like that. So,
sure.
You know, it's one. This is one of those cases it's so frustrating. It's almost like the JFK assassination. That,
right.
You know, if they would have gotten to interview Lee Harvey Oswald, then, you know, maybe we would know more. But he got killed before he could be interrogated. And in this case, we don't have a guy to interrogate, and we might not ever have a guy to interrogate unless people giddy up and start talking about this case and start spreading facts, and more people become aware of it, because who knows? Maybe somebody would recognize the bridge guy. If anything, this podcast, who knows? It could help lead to the killer.
And, you know, a lot of the parents are pretty much, you know, begging, you know, amateur sleuths and, you know, people to investigate this, because they really feel like, you know, the cops are holding back on shit that could possibly name the killer.
Right, and that's all they want is a name and a conviction, and they want to watch the guy, you know, go to trial and be found guilty and be sentenced.
Right.
And I think they're, you know, righteous in that that kind of mandate.
Sure.
They're owed that. So.
Oh, I absolutely. And
any victim of any of these horrible cases that we talk about here are owed that justice, at least, I feel like. They, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There is one other suspect that has come about here in the past few weeks, actually. A video, I think it's True Crime Jesus. I think that was him, that YouTube channel that put this out. That started looking into geocaching and came across this guy who has, you know, who'll go out and hide these geocaches. Before we get into that, I'm not very familiar with geocaching. I didn't even know what the fuck it was. Jody knew about it. I had no fucking clue what geocaching was. You know a little bit the basics of geocaching. Why don't you give us a little rundown on what the hell geocaching is in case some of the listeners don't know? Because, fuck, I didn't know until like a couple weeks ago.
It's kind of a high-tech version of hide-and-seek.
Right.
So you'll go bury, you know, a cache out there somewhere in the woods or, you know, off the beaten trail, and you'll leave either GPS clues on how to find this cache that you've set out there, or, you know, there's lots of different levels to it. But at a base level, it's I'm going to, you know, take a shoebox and put some trinkets in it and hide it somewhere, you know, bury it or hang it up from a tree limb somewhere, and you can download the geocache app and go try to find my little secret shoebox. It's all based off of you find it, there'll be a little trinket inside you can keep, but leave something yourself.
And then you have to sign like a log or something.
Yeah, sign a log.
So it's almost like, you know, yeah, you're making record that I found this, and then you go to the next one.
Exactly. And then every once in a while, all the people that own these caches will go and you know, read the logbook, and sometimes they'll put it out on social media. It's basically just a, you know, it's a pastime, it's a hobby. It's something to do with your kids out in the woods and get yourself out of the house.
And from what I understand, it's set up like the whole Pokemon Go thing, because it runs on GPS.
Yeah.
So, it does. You know, you can see, you know, when somebody, you know, let's say, SJ, you go and hide something.
Okay. Right.
And you put this, you know, cash out there, and you know, and when we say cashing, you know, it's not cash, like fucking money.
Oh, some
like you said, just like little trinkets or whatever.
Right.
If you go and hide something and I find it, you can pretty much see, you know, that I'm close to that area, that I'm in that vicinity, you know, is that correct?
Yeah, if you're registered with the geocaching society, then, you know, if I set up a geocache and somebody comes and finds it, I'll see that, okay, Otis B. Dreads came and found SJ's, you know, treasure box out in the woods. So I can kind of keep track of how many people have found it. So that way I can make mine harder to find if I want to, you know, be tricky about it. And
right.
There are certain other types of caches that, you know, there's a... Oh God, I'm not going to get into it, but you know, it's kind of like a video game. There's level
like
one, level two,
or
level three,
one or something. There's like an Earth Geo, Earth Cache, or something like that.
Yeah, there are ones that you find that lead you to another one that'll lead you to another one. It's kind
of
like
sometimes
a trail
they'll
of
have
clues.
like little math problems and shit that you have to solve, like little puzzles that you have to solve that will give you the coordinates.
And it's kind of cool. If you think about it, it's kind of a cool pastime. You know, you have to find this cache, and then once you find it, it's kind of like Indiana Jones. You found the first breadcrumb, and then here's the directions to the second breadcrumb. But in this case, it could be used, you know, to entice these two girls to get to a certain point, being a geocache, and then murder them there. Is that what you're kind of getting at?
That is kind of what I'm getting at, because when I listen to, and I've listened to that audio, guys, down the hill, to me, it did not sound threatening. It did not sound like, you know, he was a bad guy. Could it be that this new suspect, and I cannot remember his name. I know he's an archaeologist. Okay, he works at an Indiana university.
Okay.
At the university that he worked at, there were two or three rapes. And I don't know if they were murdered, but there were some assaults going on there. Same university he worked at. He was also a geocacher. He hid numerous geocaches in that area. Could he be saying, you know, maybe he was like, yeah, I'm, you know, maybe this guy's like, yeah, I'm looking for geocaches too, blah, 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 you know, and he was like, I know where one's at, though. He says, guys, here, down the hill.
Could be. It could be.
Interesting, because it did not, just to me personally, it did not sound threatening, like, guys, down the fucking hill or down the hill. You know, I don't know. It didn't sound like he was really coercing.
But how threatening do you have to be? How threatening do you have to sound if you have a gun? Well, that's the thing.
And again, more speculation.
The thing about the bridge guy.
We don't know if he had a gun.
The pictures of bridge guy, it looks to me like he's almost keeping his left hand in his back, like, jean pocket. Maybe that's where he's got a gun. Go back and look at those pictures again, because it looks like he's strategically keeping one of his hands behind his back and one hand in front, you know, the debated, like, fanny pack or whatever that's, you know, it could be a fanny pack, it could be anything that he has in the front.
It could be one of the little packs that deer hunters use. You know, with they got 4 or 5 knives, you know, for gutting a deer and skinning a deer or whatever.
Yeah, like a field kit.
Sure.
Like bandolier kind of thing, yeah.
So, yeah, it is interesting. And the fact that this guy is, oddly enough, very into German and Nazi history.
Now, when you say this guy, you're talking about a guy that doesn't have a name. We're talking about CM now, right?
CM, yes.
This is the guy.
He calls himself, I think, on the geocaching site, I think he calls himself Archeo Krampus or something.
Yeah.
And he's huge into, you know, the Krampus story, which is, you know, as most people know, the anti-Santa Claus kidnaps kids and bad kids and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so
which is odd there, too.
A folktale from Germany.
Sure. Sure, absolutely, with pagan roots. So, you know, it's plausible to me, and it's got to be frustrating for those investigating this case, even if they're like 99 fucking percent sure that they know who fucking did it. They don't have enough, according to them, the cops, that is, they don't have enough to haul someone in. To right. get DNA, they don't have enough evidence.
I think they've let it go too long. I mean, think about it. The bridge that these girls were walking across has been standing there since, like, what, 1899,
right.
1911 or whatever. I just don't feel like there's ever going to be enough substantial evidence in this case to pin down a murderer, unless the guy does it again. Mm-hmm. If he does it again, then we might catch the guy.
I can honestly agree with that, as much as I hope that is not the case, and I'm sure the families also hope that is not the case.
I hope it's not the case.
I can see where you're coming from, brother. Yeah,
it's just one of those things where it's a small town. There's not enough resources for the local PD to really, you know, put CSI on the case when something like this happens.
Well, the FBI's involved.
Well, I mean, even the FBI. They're not going to pump all their resources into a small town. I'm sorry to be cold like that, but they're not going to do it. And especially if the local PD didn't do their due diligence in the first place.
Right.
And if the crime scene wasn't photographed correctly and everything, you know, all samples weren't taken correctly, then what can the FBI even do at that point?
Here's something strange.
Look at the bodies.
Yeah, here's something strange I want to bring up, because I think we're you know, just about to the end of talking about this story. And there is a lot more, and we will do a part two on this when we do get Bobby here in the insane asylum to, you know, talk more in depth. Again, we just wanted to give you guys a little overview of this and hopefully pique your interest into looking at this. And we would love to, you know, have you guys, you know, when it's posted, which it will drop Monday, over there at Night Living Dreads, the group, on nightlivingdreads.com. We would love you guys to take and shoot us your thoughts. If you've looked into this case, or when you look into this case, let us know what you think, because this is one of those cases that you really, because I think of those that are murdered, okay, and that being a 13, 14-year-old girl doing something, as you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, brother, they were doing something very innocent. I remember having half days off of school and hooking up with, you know, my best friend and just, you know, doing whatever, man. It was like a small vacation, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the most innocent thing. Sad fucking story.
And we haven't even gone into, like, the how they were killed, and I don't want to get into that.
Well, here's the thing, and I was actually going to, I hate to cut you off. No, I don't really. here's the thing. I can't remember if it was Libby or Abby's uncle was part of the search team when they found the bodies. He said that Abby was propped up sitting up next to a tree. Her hands, both of her hands, were kind of over her private areas. Okay. And that her throat was slit, and she had one stab wound to the heart. Libby, on the other hand, he stated, was absolutely slaughtered. She was, like, gutted like a fucking deer. The cops won't put that out there. It did leak out, because the uncle again, I can't remember which girl it was. The uncle was part of that and found their bodies. He was also, I think, kind of on the radar as well.
Okay.
So, well, it has to been go into stated. Part two. What's that?
This has to go into part two.
Exactly, and that's what we're going to dive into more in part two. But that's another interesting little twist there. So in conclusion, it is an interesting case. I feel so bad for the parents, their grandparents, who are very active in this case. And it is a very, very sad ordeal. And I do hope you're wrong in your assumption that this will never be solved. And the asshat that did these to these two little girls will never be caught. I hope you're wrong, but I can see why you would say that. SJ, what's some last thoughts on this part one of the Delphi murders?
I would just like to say I hope I'm wrong too, and the only reason I say that is because of the kind of bare bones nature of the evidence that's available to, you know, lay people like me and you who are just looking at this case as just citizens. We don't have access to the police files and the case files. The only reason I say that I don't believe this case will be solved and resolved is because of the lack of evidence. True. I hope I'm wrong. So yeah. I hope more stuff comes out. If they do have 40 minutes of video footage from the cell phone, I think that would go so far in the case in at least giving us a clue into who might be responsible for these murders.
Not only video, but audio, because I believe that she, you know, stuck her phone in her pocket, possibly.
So right.
Video may not be there, but
video, audio,
there should be plenty
whatever.
More audio.
Yeah, there's stuff that we are not
privy to.
Exactly. That exists out there, and I guess the cops are either sitting on it, or maybe they erased it by accident. That happens sometimes in these kind of cases, and that's another tragedy.
Wouldn't that cause a shitstorm?
I mean, I'm that might be what's happening in this case, because if they had something, you would feel like they would put it out there. unless they mishandled evidence and lost it, or, you know, an SD card got deleted, or, you know, a hard drive got deleted by accident, bam, there goes all your evidence. So we just don't know yet. This is one of those cases that's not like, you know, Dahmer or Manson or any of those other cases that have been solved already. This is kind of a relatively new one. It's a 3-year-old case.
Right. So
we're going to find out more and more as the days go by. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Cause there's, you know, so many amateur sleuths out there that are really trying to, you know, put some pieces of the puzzle together. And
at the end of the day,
that's really how it's going to start, man. I think if it does get solved, I think it's going to be of a grassroots investigation type ordeal. What do you think about that?
I think you're right, man. I think it's the it's us weirdos, so to speak, that are into true crime that might end up coming together and solving a case one day, and maybe this will be the one to break that ice, you know.
We can only hope for the families of Abigail Williams and Liberty German. Man, very interesting case. I can't wait to have Bobby back on. It intrigued the hell out of me, so hopefully
me too.
It intrigued you guys as well. It is again, it's a little bit different than what we did last year on the podcast, where, you know, we talk mainly serial killers, and this true crime shit, man, you talk about a rabbit hole.
Oh, God, yeah.
Definitely going all
down the way down to Wonderland.
So with that being said, we are going to close out episode 55 here in the Insane Asylum.
Woo! Love you.
Man, I'm so glad to be back on the mic with you, brother. I do want to send some, you know, thoughts and good wishes out to old Don Skrull. His mother had fallen ill and put into the hospital. Last I heard, she was recovering slowly, she's hopefully on the road to recovery and will be back as close to normal. So all of our thoughts and prayers go to Mr. Don Skrull, aka Chiller the fucking clown.
Love you, boy.
He's a clown, all right. So want to send some best wishes out to Don and his family, and, you know, especially his mother. So hopefully everything works out there, and maybe we can get Don get Don back on the podcast. Don't forget to check out his new group, Carnival of Souls. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah, it's Carnival of Souls. You got it right.
Awesome. So, hey, with that being said, thank you, sir. And I cannot wait to do the next podcast. New equipment coming to the Insane Asylum, man. A whole new sound. NLD 2.0 coming 2. Here very, very soon.
Oh, I'm very excited. Yes. Excited for that, too. Stick around.
All right, man. Hey, we'll talk here soon. We will talk with all of you guys here this coming weekend. And again, all new episodes drop Monday. And keep a lookout for that. Hey, thank you, guys. And we'll talk to you next week.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.